Going to be preaching. Boy, this thing doesn't want to move. Somebody lock the wheels again. Don't lock the wheels, guys. The sermon that I'm going to be preaching today is entitled, We Come as Guests Invited. And as we look at that sermon title, it screams 3 points at us. Okay? And those 3 points are, we come as guests invited. Each of those aspects has something to do with us, our lives, and how we respond to God. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Matthew. This is a very, very well-known story that Jesus told, a parable that Jesus told. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And here, Jesus is telling us the parable of the kingdom, comparing it as a banquet prepared by the king. So we're going to be looking at this from verse 2, and we're going to be going through the entire parable. Now, I know over the course of some time we had preached on all the parables, but it was amazing to me when the Lord brought me back to this months ago. Literally months ago, I wrote this in my calendar for this time, and I wrote down one sentence, I come as guest, as a guest invited, and then I just began working on that and what it meant, because at that time, God was doing something in me, looking at where we are as a church, looking at where I am as an individual, and what each of those portions, I come as a guest invited, really means, not just to me, but to him. One of the things that I hate about Bible study, and I know we've all done this as teachers of the Bible, we have asked our students, what does it mean to you? Wouldn't the better appropriate question be, what does God mean by this? Because I can make it mean whatever I want it to mean. Amen? But the intention is, what did God intend when he gave his word? What is his purpose behind the word? Because it is in the word that we are changed and forever changed and made whole and holy. So let us get into the word. We're going to read chapter 22, beginning in the second verse through 14. Jesus is speaking here and he says to us, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding. They were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized the slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast. Those slaves went out to the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. Now, one of the things that I want us to understand is the invitation has gone out. We need to understand that the invitation has gone out. And the greatest invitation was engraven on blood the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus is the invitation. We learn in John 14 and 6 that God said through Jesus, Jesus being God, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And we need to understand that is our invitation. We must come to him. We all here are here because we have understood that. Can I get an amen? Do you think there's people out there that don't understand that? One of the things that we need to understand about come, when we say we come as guests invited, there are several things that have to happen before that move takes place. The first thing that has to take place in the life of any person, okay? Because look at what he says. He invited both the good and the bad, right? So in other words, now I'm going to pick on Marion because I know this for a fact. Marion, you've been in the Lord since you were a little wee thing, right? Okay, so you kind of came up through the church and went right into the church, and you've been walking with God all your life. She's one of them good, is what I'm getting at, all right? Because Marion was, she grew up in a Christian family, she grew up with a true faith, and she moved in that direction. Would you agree with that, Marion? Okay, she said yes. That's pastor's interpretation of what she just said. She was speaking in tongues. You just didn't understand. I, on the other hand, grew up a bad. I grew up as one outside of the church. I grew up as one who did not know who God was, other than when my parents would evoke his name when they were angry. And you all know what I mean by that. And as I grew up knowing that there was a God, knowing that there was a king. Please look at the parable. Do you think the people in the highways and byways didn't know there was a king? But did they know the king? Okay, how many of us know Donald Trump is the president of our country? If you don't, where have you been living? All right? Do we know Donald Trump? No. I've never had a dialogue with him. I've never had him to my house for dinner. I've never had an occasion to have anything to say to him personally or intimately because I don't have that kind of relationship. So the first thing we need to understand is in order for us to come to God, a relationship has to begin. We have to recognize that God wants to have a dialogue with us. How would you feel if the king, if President Donald Trump, how many of you have gotten those phone calls? It comes up, Donald Trump on your phone. Identification, Donald Trump. Oh, the president's calling me. Yeah, really? You pick it up and it's a recording, right? Yeah, come on. But the awesome thing about God is God sends out his emissaries. God sent out not just his emissaries, because he sent out the prophets. He has sent out evangelists. He has sent out preachers. But more importantly, God literally sent the invitation into each and every one of our lives. And he is Jesus Christ. God himself, God incarnate. He wants that personal relationship. He wants us to recognize that he wants to have a dialogue with us. And that dialogue has to happen on a conscious level. There are so many people out there that when you talk to them, they'll say, oh, yeah, I know there's a God. Yeah, I believe in God. Well, really, what do you believe? And the reality is they don't know God. They have heard of God or have an idea of God. I have an idea of Donald Trump, okay? He's arrogant. He's pompous. You know, he's brash. But I don't know him like those who are around him know him. I'm sure that he is a man of compassion. He's definitely a man of passion. He has great passions in life. But what we need to understand too is God is a God of compassion and a God of passion. And the invitation he sent out was sent out as his son, our Savior. And there's a world out there that really doesn't understand that because they don't know they need a Savior. Because they have not had that awakening. They have not recognized the fact that God wants to have a dialogue with them. They have not been spiritually awoken. How does spiritual awakening happen in a human being? What has to take place in order for that to happen? It has happened. If you are in Christ Jesus, it has happened to you. And I'm assuming that you are all in Christ Jesus. Praise his name. How did it happen? Did it happen because some preacher or some person, you know, the difference between Marion and I. Marion grew up in the church, so it was just natural for you to become a Christian, right? Actually, no. Because what's natural is sin. But you see, God gave a promise to Marion's family. He says, to those who love me, I will bless you to the thousandth generation. You're part of those generations, right, Marion? And he says, to those who curse me, I will curse them to the fourth generation. I was part of those generations. But the awesome thing is, God says he sends the invitation out to both the good and the bad. So the invitation went out. My invitation, as amazing as it may sound, came in the form of my great-grandmother. That's just two generations back. What happened? A generation chose poorly. Because you see, ultimately, we all have to make that choice, and we're going to get to that because that's the second step. But right now, we need to understand, what I want us to understand is, God has sent out his emissaries. God has sent out his servants, and I want us to understand how that works. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. We're going to be in Romans chapter 10. Chapter 10, beginning in the 14th verse. And we're just going to read two verses here, 14 and 15. And God's word speaks unto us and says, how will they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand, somebody came into your life and brought that word. A preacher of some sort went out into your life. And the same situation happened, though Marion was in the Lord, working in the Lord, in the family of Christ, she still had to hear the message. I had to hear the message. It has to be received. The invitation has to get through the mail. Where's Brother Bobby and Brother Ryan? How many pieces of mail go through the mail, through the post office? Billions. How many of them get to where they're supposed to get? Most of them. There is such a thing as the dead letter office, and I don't care if it gets their box. Right, Bob? But we need to understand, God gets the message through. One way or another, God gets the message through. And the one way God has chosen to do that is right here in the parable that we just read. He sends out his servants. Now, the amazing thing is, we come as guests invited. So we're going to be looking at those three pieces because we are guests and we are invited. But once we come, guess what happens to us? God changes us. For we're no longer just guests invited. Those things still apply to us. But it's in those things that something happens. And I'm not going to talk about those. You're going to get them over the next 3 weeks. As we come, we are changed to servants. And we are then to be sent out. Because the banquet hall is not full. If you read the scriptures there with me, it says, when it was finally completed, the banquet hall was full. The banquet hall is not full yet. And God is sending us out again to bring in more lost souls, to bring in more of those who are in the highways and the byways. It amazes me because you do realize Israel are the ones who was initially invited, and then they were supposed to go out, and they rejected him. Did he literally send his armies and burn the city? Yes! Jerusalem was torn down. The temple was destroyed and burned. This is prophetic. Why do you think after this it says, and the Pharisees sought to find a way to kill him? Because they understood he was talking about them and what was coming and came and is here now. And it's so amazing, brothers and sisters, because we have an entire society out there that has no idea the king wants to have a dialogue with them. They have these preconceived notions of who God is, and they're good with those things. Okay? How many people do you think in this world look at God as being an ogre? You know, I keep asking him to do something for me, and he doesn't do anything for me. How many times do we as Christians think to ourselves, God, where are you? I've been asking for this for years and you haven't given it to me. Well, gee, you know, the reality is maybe the answer's no. Just maybe. If you haven't gotten it in 20 years, do you think you're going to get it? I think it's funny. Some of the things that I have received, it's because I finally stopped asking for them. Because my relationship with God meant more than the thing. And all of a sudden, the thing shows up. And I'm like, Lord, I don't understand. But praise you that I don't, because I know you more now. I know how deep, how wide your love is for me. And it's not about things. It's about a relationship. It's about having a dialogue with you. It's about connecting with you. It's about getting real with you in my life and understanding that when I come as a guest invited. And you're going to find out what those two things mean over the weeks. But we need to understand that right now there's a whole lot of people out there that don't even know the invitation was sent out. They're looking at the party that's happening up here and they're really getting upset because, well, I wasn't invited to that. Why wasn't I invited to that? They have been invited to that. Do you know the invitation for salvation has gone out to all mankind? The invitation of salvation has gone out to all mankind. Will everyone receive it? No, because it states that right here in our word. Many are called, but few are chosen. Because God knows those who will respond to him. But we need to get out there and go into this world taking that message of hope, taking the message of God's salvation, bringing the invitation into people's lives. Now that sounds strange because we live in America and boy, isn't everybody in America a Christian? No. Do you know there are more nones than anything today? Do you know what the fastest growing church is in California? The elders know this, I told them. The atheists, they literally have started atheist churches in California. It's the fastest growing church in America today. How do you have an atheist church? Well, they are people who left the faith through disillusion because there are pastors out there that don't preach the gospel, that don't walk the gospel, that don't exhibit the gospel of Jesus Christ and the love of Christ. There are churches out there. Hey, how many of you in this church are broken? How many of you in this church do everything right? I think it's funny because the world looks at us and says, man, you people are all a bunch of hypocrites. You say one thing and you do another. And we say, yes, and there's room for one more. Amen? Because we are broken. God is working on us. We are a mess. I'm not ashamed to admit that. I am a mess. If you don't believe me, talk to my wife for 10 minutes. She will tell you just how wonderful I am. Did you see her? She just nodded her head yes. The reality is we are a bunch of hypocrites, but we know who to go to. That's the difference. We know who to take our mess to, and he's able to fix it. He's able to help us through it, but we have to work with him. That's part of being guest invited, and we're going to look at that in a little while. Boy, I'm putting out a lot of feelers into the next couple weeks, and I hope you're catching them. But there are people out there that need to receive the invitation. The question is, are we going to go? Are we going to be that invitation? Are we going to be those servants to take the message out? We need to remember, it says in there that some of those messengers were treated harshly. In fact, some were killed. Now, it's my prayer that that does not happen to any of us. Amen? But we may be treated harshly. We may get to a door. We may talk to somebody, and they, you know, proverbially slap us in the face. When that happens, you shake the dust off your feet and move on. Remember, shake the dust off your feet and move on. I think it's one of the most amazing things. Do you know in Scripture that if you walk up to a home and you are received in that home, your blessing, your peace, the peace of Jesus Christ, rests upon that home? Okay? Do you know what happens to a home in which you're cursed? When you leave, you take your blessing and peace with you. What does that leave behind? Cursing, turmoil, difficulty. We need to remember, when we go with everything that is needed to prepare the people to come to the wedding banquet. Okay? We're going to get into that in just a second. Because the second thing that happens, once the invitation has been received, once the peace of God has been on that person's heart, once they have received that, and they finally say, yes, I realize God wants to have a dialogue with me. This is a real thing. This is a personal thing. God cares about me. We have to respond. Now, unfortunately, as I just spoke earlier, some responses are negative responses. Some responses are people shutting the door in your face. Some responses are people telling you, and I've heard all kinds. I won't even get into them. You're going to hear them as we go out. And it's okay. That should cause us to pray even more for whatever their excuse may be. And remember, if somebody's been hurt by the church, hey, how many of you have been hurt by the church? I know I have. Share it with them. Yeah. Yeah, the church is full of messed up people. Won't you join us? They're going to look at you and say, what? Yeah. We know we're a mess. That's what makes us different. We're not ashamed to admit it. Because once they hear that, it's my hope that they will respond in the positive way and choose to come. Remember, there's a choice that happens here. But we need to remember, God calls us because God already knows who has chosen him. Amen? And in that choosing, it's because the Holy Spirit has already begun to work in that person's heart. You are simply showing up, making the invitation real, putting a person behind it, and praying with that individual, or moving towards that area of getting that person to make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because a choice is a commitment. We need to understand that none of us, when we come, comes of our own will. When you come to an invitation, do you come on the day of your choosing? No. You come on the day of the invitation, when the invitation says, this is the day. All right? Many people don't realize this is the day. I was going to use that song, this is the day, this is the day. And I thought, nah, that's okay. We won't go there. I don't need that. Because for some people, the day we show up at their door, this is the day. For other people, we simply may be sending them the pre-invitation. How many of you have ever gotten those? It's called a save the date. You know what I mean? Some of us are going to be save the date cards going out. And those folks just don't realize that the day is coming when the invitation will be at their door. But people will make a choice when we're there. We made a choice. It took me 32 years to make my choice. It took me, I was 18 when I gave my life to the Lord, but then I walked away from Him because I really didn't know what that was, because I grew up in a church that had no idea who the Holy Spirit was, didn't believe He existed, and could not help me understand the things that were going on in my life, so I ran away from it because I literally thought I was going crazy. I mean, when you start hearing voices and you know, it's like, this is nuts. And I ran away. But when I heard the voice again years later, I had a teacher there who was able to say to me, as was said to Samuel, the next time he calls, answer, "Yes, Lord." Wow, what a difference that made in my life. Because all of a sudden I realized that invitation's real. That dialogue is real. God wants to talk to us individually. He wants to be involved in our lives. He wants a personal relationship with each and every one of us. We have been invited to the greatest feast of all time. And the amazing thing is that invitation coming from the feast. Guess what happens when we get there? It's a surprise party. Guess who it's for? Us, because we're not just the guests. We're the guest of honor because we're the bride. You see, we don't understand all these things. And the amazing thing is, and I want you to think about this, because there's another parable here where it talks about a father whose son has gone off and squandered everything. And when he comes back, what does the father do to him? The father accepts him back, doesn't he? He sets upon him the finest robes, gets the ring, and says, "Here you go." He says, I just want to be your servant. He says, no, you're my son. That's what God says to us. I want you to understand something. There was a guy here in this parable that was cast out because he didn't have the right clothes. Why do you think that happened? Because in the day that this was written, it was customary for if you were in the upper echelon, the king or the nobleman, whomever they were, they would send with their invitation the clothing that you were supposed to wear. They would prepare you for the event. God prepares us for the event because Jesus Christ is our righteousness. The blood of the Lamb is what we wear. We wear His righteousness. And there are people out there, they need to receive that. They need to be prepared for what's coming. That's what you and I are there to do, to help prepare them, to get them ready. Because there are going to be people who are going to say, "Well, I've prayed to God so many times and nothing ever happens." Brothers and sisters, don't say, "Well, let's try again." Explain to them. Have you ever thought that maybe you need to ask God about what you're praying for, not just what you're praying for? Have you ever thought that maybe God wants you to have that personal, not just pray for things? How many people out there, you know, there's a saying in the military, there are no atheists in foxholes. Okay? Ed just rose his hand and said, "I can attest to that." It's so amazing, because when we are downtrodden, when everything is coming after us, people who won't believe in God all of a sudden are praying to God. Now, God doesn't answer the prayers of everyone. He answers the prayers of His children. And we need to help move people to that place. Again, it gets back to that reality. How will they hear lest or how will they know lest they hear, and how will they hear lest we are sent? That's Romans 10. We need to be going out. We need to be taking that message out. Yeah, but Pastor, you know, how do we know who it's for? And how do we know that this is what's supposed to happen? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 2. This is back at the beginning of the church. Acts chapter 2, 38 and 39. You know, this is the first sermon that was preached to the church. From verse 38 and verse 39, we read these words. And Peter said to them, "Repent, each of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." Wow. Guess how the Lord our God calls people? Sometimes he uses people. In fact, more than enough, he uses people. And Jesus says, or the word says here, and the word is God, John 1. As we go out, God is speaking through us to his people. He's getting them to come. This is for all who are far off. The banquet hall is not full. We need to be out there working on this. As God is working on us, as we have chosen to come to him, so too are there others that need to come to him. The time is coming when there be no more day. Night is fastly approaching. The prophets, the apostles, all preached that. It's been 2,000 years. And how many of the people out there, literally, that's one of their excuses. Yeah, they've been saying that for 2,000 years and it hasn't come yet. And it happens tomorrow. Guess what? It's too late. Today is the day. And we need to take advantage while it is day. We need to be a people of the day. We need to be a people of the invitation, understanding we have come. There are others who need to come. We need to be going out in truth because, again, when I get into what it means to be a guest and what it means to be invited, you're going to find out that not my will be done, but thine. And that's what that means. And it's also a whole lot deeper than we think. Because when we come, when we submit, do you realize it means you have to give up your agenda? When you go to a party, do you get to tell the person whose party it is what's going to happen? You know, I think it's one of the funny things as a pastor, I get to see this often. And I'm going to tell you a story. Once upon a time, about 21 years ago, no, that'd be a lie. It was 20 years ago, 1998. I kicked the mother of a bride out of a wedding. Mother of the bride showed up at the wedding, wedding day. We're getting ready, and all of a sudden, she wanted all the flowers down the center aisle changed. Now, the bride had been in the day before and set everything up the way she wanted. Well, I want this here, and I want that there, and I want the candelabra over here, and I want, and it just became a turmoil. The guests don't get to tell the one who has sent the invitation what to do. When we come as guests, we simply come. We show up. It's their agenda. It's their party. It's their time, not ours. And I'm speaking about God. He has invited us to something important. We don't get to set the parameters. God sets them. When we come, our agenda has to stay where? Outside. When we walk in this door of the church, every time we walk in the door of this church, whether it's on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday Bible study or a committee meeting or whatever, your stuff stays outside. You don't own the church. I don't own the church. Who does? Jesus Christ. This is the church of Jesus Christ. It's his church, his agenda. We simply come. He tells us where to sit. He tells us what to do. Can I get an amen? And we need to understand there are going to be a whole lot of people that don't know that. And they're going to have to be trained up. Gently. Okay? Gently. How many of you are being trained up gently, even now, to understand your stuff has to stay outside? I'm still being trained up that my stuff needs to be kept outside. Again, ask my wife. She'll tell you. No, she won't. She's too nice a lady. We all have problems. Can I get an amen? We can share our problems in that of seeking help. Amen? But we do not allow our problems to shape who we are and what we are. That comes from Jesus Christ. As we accept the invitation, we simply come. Show up. I'm asking you to show up this evening after our study time, or after our time here today. We're going to have discipleship, and then we're going to have a time where we're going to be here, and our Gideon brothers here are going to be leading us into what it means to go out on this prayer walk. Please understand, it is called a prayer walk. Because we're going to go out, we're going to identify ourselves as to who we are, and then we're going to ask to pray with people. Am I?
Yes. Yes.
It's that simple. If it leads to more, praise God. If it doesn't, praise God. It's that simple. It's not like I'm asking you to be a master theologian. How many of you can pray? How many of you have feet? How many of you can put them one in front of the other? Now I need the song, I Come. Brothers and sisters, we come as guests invited. In the next couple weeks, we are really going to be looking at what it means to be a guest and to be invited. Because coming, I'm not done with yet. I have to keep coming back to this because we need to understand some even more things about coming. But for today, I want you to understand 2 points. First, people have to recognize that there's a dialogue coming from someone they'd have never expected it. And that's God the Father. He doesn't care who you think He is. He wants you to get to know who He is. And second, He's asking us to make a choice. We've all accepted that, but there's a bunch of people out there that haven't. Now it's up to us to help them receive the invitation and come to the Lord. And I'm going to be honest with you right now. I don't care if they come here or if they go to another church, as long as it is a church that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Because we are all part of that church. The true church of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me today? Father God, we thank You so much that You invited us. Because, Lord, we know that we have been blessed. We know that we have received that invitation, each and every one of us here. And now, Lord, we would ask that You would help us to take that message, to take that invitation, who is Jesus Christ in our lives, out into the world. To help others to see that invitation is for them, but then also to see how it applies. Because, Lord, that invitation comes already prepared, that we don't have to bring anything. In fact, we're supposed to let everything at home and simply come as You has called us. Lord God, we thank You for this day. We ask, Lord, that You would bless our time of study as we go into our discipleship hour. And then, Lord, as we stay and have the time of teaching, of what our prayer walk is going to entail and where we're going to go and when we're going to go, Lord, we would ask Thy blessing. We ask, Lord, that You would truly grow up this church because, Lord, we are learning to love You. We are learning to love others, and we are learning to go. And that all together, we are the church of Christ. No portion can be missing. All of you must be there. And Lord, you are always all there. Thank you, Father. Bless us, use us, and keep us for thy kingdom come. In Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been watching a Bible teaching church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083. You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.